Hello. Thank you for visiting my website and for listening to my comments about the Sonata for Solo Violoncello. I'll spend the first half of this audio, about 8 minutes, reviewing the history of the piece, a history for me that is particularly poignant. The last 8 minutes or so will be an analysis that focuses on the movement of the keys throughout the work, the melodic and rhythmic material being straightforward enough. With this piece, it's the key movement that tells the story. Constructing the work this way gave me an opportunity to give a glance backwards towards Verdi. In the opera Falstaff, he assigned proprietary keys to each character, hence creating a tonal dramatic scenario to match the plot. Similarly, the key movement of this cello piece creates a dramatic arc. There's more to tell, but I'll leave that for another time. So let's begin. The performing arts, like some of the other art forms, is collaborative. Composer and performer and audience and composer. We depend on one another to enhance the quality of all of our lives. The story of this work for violoncello is an example. Its origins are in the 90s. Though I can't precisely recall, I suspect Ben Britten exerted some influence in me deciding on a 5-movement work. That makes sense, really. 5 is the next level up from 3. With 3, there are several choices of structure. Count 3 as 1. Multiply 3 by 100 and you have 1 and 2, or 1, followed by its variant. Multiply 3 by 200 and you have 1, 2, 3, or ABC, or ABA. There are other permutations, but it's safe to say with 3, the world's your oyster. But with 5, there the combinations can be endless. The oyster becomes a quahog, so to speak. And with so many options, I feel there comes a responsibility, my word again, to not be sloppy, to resist the temptations of continuously throwing in new material, to not create a stream of consciousness piece that speaks only to yourself. An aside here, could someone remind me what Joyce was thinking writing Finnegan's Wake? Back to my point. I have always felt that the tremendous intellect of Pablo Picasso has been ignored. He quoted somewhere as having said that the more restrictions he imposed, the greater his freedom. Meaning, of course, that his instinct, intellect, craft, and concentration became laser-focused. But back to the 5 sketches. They started as small pieces I created to gain facility in writing for the instrument. I eventually combined them into a piece titled 5 Lyric Pieces for Solo Violoncello. A friend, Virginia Gardner, generously recorded them so that I would have empirical evidence that they were indeed playable and that I had realized my intentions. I had a small batch printed that I then began to distribute to friends and colleagues, Brigitte Günther among them. She was to mention later that it would be easier for her if I could give her any remaining copies, as she was using various movements as material for her students. Brigitte was a wonderful person, a brilliant cellist. She performed under von Karajan and had a personal rapport with the Honnenchords. We stayed in contact, talking several times a year, most often by telephone, where we would discuss upcoming concert, critique works, and praise or lambast conductors, as the occasion warranted. She was a constant presence in my life, and I can say she changed it. On one occasion, she asked what I was working on. I mentioned a piece that I was writing that was just for my benefit, similar to the 5 cello pieces. Only this one was for full extended orchestra. Somewhere in the conversation, I must have mentioned it would be eligible for a competition, but I didn't feel I could spare the cost of the entrance fee. In a short time, a check appeared in my mailbox, and I entered and won the Louisville Prize of 1997. As mentioned above, collaboration is art. Years later, we were having one of our phone conversations. By this time, I was married to my wife, Karen Davey, and we were living in Providence, Rhode Island, and Brigitta was in her eighth decade when she asked if I would consider accepting a commission from her. I said, of course, and said no fee would be asked, just a bottle of Medoc Margaux the next time we got together for dinner. Brigitta, being a very classy woman, wouldn't hear of it. She insisted I set a price, and I had better make it a dignified one. So I wrote the work. Brigitta premiered it at the mansion of the Strathmore Hall Art Center in Rockville, Maryland. I call the work a sonata. That has to do with my reworking of the five lyric pieces into a three-part structure. As can easily be imagined, Bach and Britten were lingering about in the background. The dance-like rhythms echoed Bach's cello suites. These rhythms are also, for me, an expression of my sprightly relationship with Brigitta. Bach's suites, keeping with the custom of his time, lacked performance indications. I did away with them also. But then I have always given the performer a wide berth in my music, encouraging them to exert their own interpretations. Not meaning to sound flippant, but they are only notes on a page. The genius is in the performer. Want to hold a note longer than indicated? Please do. Want a grand retard? Have your way with it. Make it your own. All that said, the inspiration and key structure for each movement is as follows. First movement is inspired by the dance rhythms of the 18th century and happens to make up the first half of the piece. I consider this one movement to actually be two movements for no other reason than to keep with Britten's five-movement structure. The second movement reverberates the saraband and minuet of the 18th century. About the third movement, it is comprised of material from the first two. There are grand gestures asserting this previous material, and these moments should be carefully anticipated and executed. At this point, you may wish to stop this recording here and proceed to Noah Chen's performance. Because for the remainder of this narration, I will be giving a breakdown of the key movements, marking the measures of the changes, so that you may feel the need to have a score in hand. Of course, if you want to keep going with this narration, please do. I'll give you a moment. Okay, so then here we go. First of all, there are 307 total measures in the sonata. I consider this the first movement, the equivalent to, say, the first two movements of a five-movement piece. Also, this first movement makes up a total of one half of the piece. It begins in D, and that key continues 64 measures. Then, at measure 65, an assertion up to A occurs and continues until measure 77. This is followed by a return to D, establishing that key as the primary tonal anchor. At measure 88, to create anticipation, the tonal plane moves up a half step to E flat. Yet another half-step ascension occurs at 97 to move past simple anticipation towards a real tension. This lasts for a short duration of five measures. Then, at measure 123, for even a shorter duration of 3 measures, the tension transitions completely to uncertainty as the piece shifts back down, this time in the minor. The tonal movement crashes, so to speak, with a movement of an augmented fourth up to A major at 126. This A does, however, lend stability, and we are at 146, finally reassured with the return to the home key of D. At 150, there's a very short moment of uncertainty as the D shifts to its minor, then concludes with 4 measures asserting the final resting tonality with a return to D major. The second and third movements make up the second half of the piece. The second movement begins at measure 156 and has a pastoral feel to the movement of the keys. It is a simple scenario. It begins in C, which extends from measures 156 to 185. There it moves up a 6 to A, where it loiters for measures 186 to 198. The tension, or disruption, anticipation, whatever one calls it, is created by a jump up a diminished 5, where the tonality sits for 14 measures. The movement concludes with another major up a major 6, where it plays out in 15 measures. There is no pause as the piece moves from the second movement to the third. This third movement utilizes the previously presented melodic material. It begins in F, the parallel major to the work's initial key of D, and is rather optimistic pastoral key. It spans measures 229 rather through 264. It then returns to the original key of D through measures 265 to 273, thus creating a total repose. At measure 274, there is a return to F, thus firmly asserting the pastoral tone, so to speak, of the conclusion, which arrives at measure 306. Thus, the sonata ends with a definitive assertion of D. The total duration of the work is roughly 15 minutes. For comparison, the performance duration of Bach's first cello suite is roughly 18 minutes. So, that concludes my discussion of the Sonata for Solo Violoncello. Thank you, truly, for taking time from your busy life schedule to acquaint yourself with this piece. Again, thank you, and goodbye for now.